Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers. We get together on Monday evening to speak about astrology and take questions from callers and also take questions from people who send in an email. So feel free to send in your questions. We love questions. It's fun to respond and kick them around. And this is Mark Woltz speaking from Manhattan, New York City, on the west side. And I'm joined by
Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. I fed the cats, so hopefully everybody will be quiet tonight. No cat fights in the background. And I am ready and enjoying this whole transitional shift. And who else?
And this is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from the Canadian border up here in North Dakota, where there is not one leaf left on the tree, but it has warmed up a little bit this week. It's all the way up to 42 degrees today, so we're quite happy.
Yay, 42 degrees.
Okay.
Heather, you're a braver woman than I am, is all I can say. Well,
now, rent is so cheap here, it's easy to be an astrologer. But no, it's the house buying, even. And yes, and the people here, you cannot get nicer people than in North Dakota. They're just solid, good, honest, wonderful people. Really is pretty spectacular.
Very cool, except it's cold.
Yes, very cold.
Very cold, yeah. All right.
Very cold. Creatively cold.
Okay, and today is the 26th of October in the year, what year is it? 2009.
2009. You having an M2 transit? The
year that Saturn goes into Libra.
Yes, as we mark those astrological moments in time.
Right.
Right.
Good.
You're right.
So, that is what's coming up this week, Saturn going into Libra. And Saturn changes signs every 2.5 years. So it's been in Virgo for the last 2.5 years. And now it goes into Libra. So actually, it'll sneak back into the end of Virgo briefly one more time. But basically, it's in Libra now, and its energy is definitely in Libra to stay for the next couple of years. That happens officially on Thursday. This week, Thursday, Saturn enters Libra. And let's see, what else is going on? What did you guys see?
Well, that's, like, to me, the big excitement. And we have actually a letter from a listener whose birthday it is this week. So we'll wish Sky a happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday, Sky.
Happy birthday, Sky.
Many happy solar
returns. Happy solar return to you.
Happy solar return
to you.
Happy solar return to you, Sky. We're not very good at
that. Happy solar return to you. So why is the
solar
return so important to why is the solar return so important to us astrologers?
Because it says you're alive for another year. And what astrologers do is they cast the chart for the day and the time that the sun returns to the place it was when you were born. And it's where the phrase many happy returns comes from, because it's many happy returns of the sun, meaning may you have a long life. And we look at that as kind of a little snapshot of the year ahead. So either the day before, the day of, or the day after your birthday, Sky, you're going to have a solar return. And at that point, it then casts the theme for the year ahead, and you can look at that kind of as a gestalt picture. It's kind of cool, actually, and they work really well.
It is.
I like solar returns.
And on the day of your birthday, the sun is illuminating your sun. The transit of the sun to your sun, you light up.
Right.
It's time for you to be absolutely yourself. Absolutely no compromisingly yourself, which is pretty easy for you with your Sun-Uranus conjunction natally, even though it's in Scorpio and you've got a Mercury-Uranus conjunction, so you've got that real brilliance on one side. Your Moon in Taurus, Taurus rising, people don't see how fast your mind moves behind the scenes. You've got nice Venus-Pluto conjunct in Libra natally, so you know, you've been, you know, I would say it looks like the moment of your birth was pretty intense, or the long gestation before your birth, because you were born right after the full moon, and with Mercury Sun conjunct, I mean Mercury Uranus conjunct, and with Venus Pluto conjunct. So we could, I'd like to hear more about the moment of your birth and the issues that you came into this life to deal with. You know, that to love is to lose, love is a power trip. That love is just this aching capacity for your heart and not quite trusting it, and how to work those pieces together in your life. Now, you asked about Saturn going into Libra. And so the interesting thing for you, it's gonna be doing some interesting pieces in your chart. And what did you see first?
Well, I thought we would share her birth information with people, because she said...
Okay, that would help.
We're having a backward day. So she listens to the radio. She listens to the show, and she says it's Tuesday. She listens on her lunch break, and it's a hobby. And she wants to know what... she knows enough about her chart to know that Saturn's moving to Libra will be a big deal, because it's going to be talking to her chart ruler, Venus, her north node in Pluto. And she's kind of excited about it, and she wants to know how to make Saturn and Libra work for me during its stay in Libra. And, of course, this applies to everybody, because we're all going to have Saturn in Leo, Libra too. Yeah. And she was born on October 28, 1977, at 6:39 p.m. in Laguna Beach, California. And as she said, astrology is her hobby, but she's crap at transits, no offense intended. And anybody who doesn't like that word, but she wants to know, like, what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. So I just think with Saturn in Libra, you know, we're all going to be experiencing an enormous amount of desire to work in partnerships that are more balanced, so that the partnership energy in each of our charts is really very profound right now, because we're all kind of adjusting and saying, well, okay, what do I want to do? What's the vision? Where am I going? How do I partner productively in my partnerships? What do you know? How do I adjust them so they actually serve me, rather than you know, that I'm in the middle of them and kind of going, you know, it's not working for me. So when we see that kind of energy, and we all are having it. I mean, think about all the people that you know that have been having relationship dramas this last couple weeks. Because as we get closer to it, the energy builds, and we find that there's more and more push to get more, kind of a craziness. So in her case, with the let me just double check I've got this. October 28, 77, 6:39, in her case, because of the North Node and Pluto and Venus all joined, she's got a karmic issue around being in relationships that have to be balanced. And that whole group with the Pluto and Libra folks really need, you know, anybody in Pluto and Libra being the people born between 72 and 85, they have a karmic issue around power dynamics and relationships. And in her case, because that Venus Libra's in her sixth house and the Pluto, she can tend to be a little more of a servant kind of person in relationships than she might want to be. And then the Uranus Mercury kind of goes, no, I don't want to be a servant, and she pops out of it. So it's kind of and her chart's very relationship oriented, with that real big stellium of stuff over there in 6, 7, and 8. So I think for her, it's also Saturn through the sixth house, so for her it's a work. And it's understanding what her definition of work is, what her definition of hobbies is. Can be health issues. Hopefully we're not going to have it show up that way. But it's also tied to, you know, her working definition of what her job is, what her purpose on earth is. And one of the things she's supposed to be with this chart is a love goddess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So are you being a love goddess, Sky? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Because you also have Taurus
moon. That chart is so old. Go ahead.
Well, she also has a Taurus rising and a moon in Taurus, so she's got a very strong energy for wanting to be in partnership and relationship and to experience all the different kinds of love that there are. With intensity.
Sometimes, though, with a chart with this so much intensity around relationships, she may be very wary of getting in them because it's, you know, there's possessiveness, intensity, fear of loss, abandonment, all those nice, charming Scorpio Taurus Venus Pluto conjunction issues might be so strong that she's a little wary about relationships. And she's got low approach avoidance conflict. So it's very important for her to stay grounded in her own work and in her own life and in her own sense of service with that loaded sixth, so that no relationship contains so much of her.
Right.
That no relationship is overwhelming, and that that she has a good, strong, firm sense of self. Now, one thing that's going to help her with that right now, as I said, Saturn goes into Libra. It's sextiling her Mars in her third house.
Right.
So it's really kind of empowering her ability to communicate and express herself, because it looks like in this chart that, you know, there's a big fight between the Mars in Leo side, I mean, inside herself, between the Mars in Leo and Venus in Libra extroversion, and her Sun in Scorpio, Taurus, rising Taurus, Moon, introversion, wanting to stay safe inside themselves. So her Mars in Leo may kind of, it pushes to want to be seen, then says, never mind, I don't want to be seen, but I do, but I don't, but I do, but I don't. And with the Saturn trining, she might really be called to find a safe and solid and grounded and exciting way to feel visible on her own, so no one has to do it for her, to feel appreciated for what she does, so she can begin to trust relationships more over the next couple of years as Saturn leaves her fifth and heads into her sixth. But it's still got some work to do in her fifth. Now, Saturn is going to be squaring Pluto on and off for the next, 6 to 9 months? As Saturn gets itself together. And I agree with you that, you know, while Ed Saturn's going to come back into Virgo until July, for a while there, for a few months, but does its bunny hop, you know, and it seems, you know, I said, you can't make up astrology. History does such a better job explaining it than we ever could. While Saturn's been in Virgo for the last 2.5 years, Saturn always calls us to restructure whatever it's in. So it's been in the sign of work, employment, and health. And what are the biggest issues that we've been dealing with? Work, employment, health, service, what do we owe other countries, what do we do ourselves? Now as Saturn goes into Libra, I see, you know, that it's relationships, it's love, but it's also alliances and open warfare. So Saturn goes into Libra, I see our country restructuring its alliances in big picture in the politics, around war, around, you know, what is its role with its allies, and how can it work in different partnerships in the world? And I agree with you. I think we're all going to be going through questions looking at our own relationships over the next couple of years and how to make it more fair, egalitarian, and whole. And it's not that relationships need to be tested, though Saturn is happy to test you, but it tests you like a martial arts expert does when it thinks you're ready for the next belt. You know, it tests you thinking that you can win. It tests you so you can prove that you know what you know. It doesn't test you because it doesn't think you can pull it off. So when we head into our relationship issues and we're asked to restructure, you know, if we can sit there and go, Saturn thinks I can do this. Saturn thinks we know. I don't know how.
Saturn have a clue what's
Saturn
going
thinks,
on? Yeah.
Right, Saturn. Right, Saturn thinks we can do this. You know, it doesn't. You know, it's not going to tell us how. It's going to make us, you know, test us to our limit and prove to ourselves and to each other that we know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mark, what do you think about that?
Well, we are all getting ready for Saturn in Libra, so all of us who are listening can look at our natal chart and see where the sign of Libra is, and that tells us the issues where we'll be dealing with Saturn now. And you can sort of take a lead on that off of the house that Virgo is in, because that's where it's been the last couple of years. So look at what those issues were and then see how Saturn advances. And again, in the case of Sky, we're pointing to that sixth house because that's where her Libra is. It's fifth and sixth. The early part of Libra will be laid in her fifth house, which is the creativity and anything that you create in the world around you, and your things that you do for a hobby and for fun, all of those things, that's what Saturn will be addressing first. But then as Saturn moves further into Libra, it catches up, in the case of Sky, it catches up to Venus and Pluto in the node, North Node, and really highlights all of that, and those are all in the sixth house. So that's why we were talking about the sixth house for her as well, which is serving and having to do with work, so balancing things out there and feeling that actually that relationships require work. So we had all of that. So all of us can look and see what houses are covered by Libra, and that gives us an idea of our themes. For Sky, whenever things come up with Libra and with the Venus-Pluto North Node, it brings in the square from Jupiter natally for her too. And so, and then since she's a Scorpio person with Scorpio on the seventh house, it means when it comes to relationships, there's kind of a very strong enthusiasm that pulls her into things, and she has high expectations for anything romantic, and you know, she's ready for intensity and in romance and partnership. And with the Scorpio, you know, that kind of intensity is all or none. And so there's a tendency to sort of overly focus and throw everything into the whole package, everything in one basket. And then, you know, when it doesn't continue in the way that you're hoping, and with Taurus rising, you're very hopeful, there's a tendency to throw it all over at once, and that's Scorpio coming out. So, you know, it becomes, there's a kind of a contest then between Scorpio and Libra. Libra is what tend to pull you into relationships, and then Scorpio is what keeps you in them. But it's also Scorpio that ends them in a Scorpio way, which, again, it's all or none, and, you know, when it's over, it's over. And, you know, there's a feeling of sometimes of being betrayed or else abandoned or something. It usually doesn't feel very good. So that's why you avoid ending them, too, because you know it's not going to feel good. So you want to look at that ahead of time and maybe try to bring a little more balance between the Libra and the Scorpio and try to work them more together rather than have everything pulled toward the intensity. Try to find the balance in Libra, which is a lot lighter, and can kind of bring in a little more of the fifth house energy too, which is lighter, more enjoyable. And then you get less stuck in that sense of how much work it is to be in a relationship, which it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the last piece is to say, you know, part of what your story is with that Sun Pluto on the North Node is that there always is a triangle energy involved when you're in a relationship, and it's not a bad thing. You know, a lot of times we find people that have a strong Libra orientation. Part of their job is, you know, part of the reason they were born was to help keep their parents' marriage together, and they worked in partner to try and keep the parents' relationship going, and one of the things that they do is they find themselves in triangular relationships a lot because they're very uniquely built to kind of work in triangles. And so with your chart with Pluto and the Sun, Pluto and Venus on the North Node, it would really work for you to learn about how to work in triangle situations. So whenever we see Pluto involved with any personal planet, he brings a triangle energy to it. So it's when you're in a triangle situation, you, another person, and a third person, or you, another person, and a third thing that's beloved by both, figure out how to open up that triangle energy and have it be positive. So here you have us astrologers looking at your chart, talking to you about what we see. That's a triangle, a therapist, positive triangle, you, the problem, the therapist. Negative triangles can be when it's two against one. So your job, because you have a very strong orientation towards working in partnership with people, is to understand that whenever you partner with someone, the purpose of the partnership, Libra, is to create something, Scorpio. And you kind of immediately go, okay, I'm ready to partner and create something. Let's create something. And if you understand that drive is really always pumping underneath whenever you form a relationship, it wants to transform. It wants to change. It wants to take it to a deeper level. It wants to take the egg and the sperm and have them merge and both of them die and become a blastocyte and make a baby. And you know, and it's got this mission that kind of takes off. So it's understanding for you to work.
In other words, watch your birth control this year.
Yeah, that's the other part. You have really good pregnancy aspects. But also just understanding that your mission is always to be alchemical and transformative. So I would do a lot of work. In your case, I would go and read stuff on alchemy. I would go and read stuff on working in triangles. There's a great book by a guy named Robert Greene called Power, The 48 Laws of Power, which I always recommend to people when they're having Pluto transits. And you basically live in a Pluto transit because Pluto's always there every time you start to do anything. Every time you start a new job, every time you start something, things start to change and shift. You kind of are the person who arrives, and the place starts to move and change. So if you understand that that's the gift of your chart, this transformative energy, and you've known it because, you know, that's who you are. You're a Scorpio. You kind of tune into it. It's really learning to work with that on a positive level, and I do think Saturn in Libra, as it comes to your Pluto, is going to give you a greater sense of core competency and how really gifted you are in working in these deeper triangles. And the other part is if you do the triangles in your work, it calms down your relationship houses because they don't have to feel the need to do the triangles in the relationships. They can then do them. It can then do it at work and in your daily routines, and so the triangle energy gets diverted and spent a bit. You know, it's not as much intensity. I mean, you're still going to have intense relationships with your chart, but it gives a different flavor. So that would be.
Now, did you say that she was born in Atlanta? I mean, that she is now living in Atlanta?
She lives in Atlanta now. She was born in Laguna.
Okay. So we have, I'm looking at her progressed, her solar return, precessed solar return for Atlanta. And that adds right in that a progressed moon is moving up to conjunct Juno and Uranus in the seventh house this year. During the year, it has the moon, Juno, and Uranus in the seventh house in the precessed, correct, and Mercury and the Sun in the third. So the whole issue about communicating for herself, communicating clearly. Pluto has just entered into the fifth in the solar return. Here, if she is in Atlanta, it could be a little different if she's not in Atlanta for her birthday. But it adds to everything you've said about choosing this year to transform, about how to feel stable in a relationship with that moon in Taurus, how important it is, stable in her relationship to her work, to herself, to her spiritual path, to her animals, to her community, to feel stable so that she doesn't feel lost when she enters in relationship. She doesn't feel like it's my stability or theirs, but how do I create that balance? Which goes back into the sense of the triangle. One of the triangles that we all have in a relationship is you, me, and the relationship itself. And sometimes that we have to make compromises for the sake of the relationship, which is different from making a compromise for the other person. But for you, it's really not feeling lost in a relationship. And so you begin to trust your feet underneath you and walking forward. It should be an exciting year. Did we have somebody else on the line, you said?
Yeah, we did. Let me look. We do. Okay, we'll try and pick them up. We have 36 minutes remaining. We have to talk about the week. We didn't do that. We jumped right into Skype.
Right. We have to talk about the week, and we have to talk about our work as astrologers.
Right
after this.
We started with Saturn and Libra, and that brought us to Skype.
Right into partners. Right. Zoom. You know.
Yeah.
Hi. Are you there? 111. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Hello, you gang of three.
Hello, the gang of three, yes.
We are a gang of three.
We are a gang of
three. We won't say who's Jupiter, who's Chiron, and who's Neptune.
We'll keep that between ourselves, okay?
How are you tonight, and what can we do for you?
Fine, thank you so much. May I please ask you, I'll give you my information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, please.
Okay.
It's February 21st. 1943,
mm-hmm.
Boston, Massachusetts, and
mm-hmm.
It's 12:28 a.m.
28 a.m. in Boston.
Yeah.
721, okay.
Yeah.
And your first name?
Betsy.
Betsy, hi Betsy.
Hello. May I please ask you, I had written a book, and I was hoping to get it published, and my... the person that publishes books had said, like, it wasn't very good, and I really hope to get my writing career up on, and I have a PhD in history, which I got 3 years ago. So my
congratulations.
Thank you. My question to you is that I completed my novel, and I'd like to get my writing practice and teaching up. So does it show anything for transits, for writing and publishing my novel? And I have two more books I'm trying to write.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it does. I think, you know, you've been working on this for a while, yes?
Yeah.
Jupiter, the Gang of Three has been on your Mercury in the third house. And you have Mercury in the third house, which is a natural writer, a natural ability to speak the voice of your community. And that, to me, you know, is so powerful. But your Mercury opposes Pluto at birth. And so there has always been an issue about your right to your voice. And that it can get sometimes get so intense that it's hard to get it flowing. And when it comes out, you know, the more you write, the easier it'll be for you, because it looks like it tends to bottle up and then pour forth. But you're moving into a steady, even flow, and that you understand with Pluto sextiling your sun this year, you know this is your year to come into your own. And that you're, you know, not taking your normal excuses or normal, that your kind of fear of being seen has sometimes pushed you to not, you know, to take your time to speak up. And that moon in Virgo, you're never quite sure if you're good enough, even if everybody else is. It's a tendency to over-edit yourself. So, you know, there's a reason why you waited until you had your PhD to launch these, but it feels like you're just getting started.
Great.
And my posture on this would be, like, you know, you've got Saturn now in the 11th, the 10th house. You know, you just finished a cycle with the moon last year. And the moon for you is ruling the house of publishing. So I would say to you right now, Saturn's on your Neptune or coming to your Neptune. So that's like the group or the, you know, the authority from the publishing world, Pluto in the 9th, and then the authority from them saying to you into your Neptune in the 3rd, I don't really like this book. And so your job is to say, okay, so you don't like it. That's good. Let me go take it to someone else who might. Because Saturn on the moon finishing last year says, okay, I'm ready to show it. Now I need to find someone who can love it the way I do. And I would suggest you need to find a woman publisher or a woman agent because of the moon ruling that and moon in Virgo, who's good at working with developing young writers because you have a very strong gift for it with the sun on the south node for communicating emotionally. But your story may kind of have some sharp edges that need to be, you know, worked on with the Neptune and Jupiter coming to the south node. So kind of work with, find someone who you really trust and work with them as a female. I would look for a female, and I'm not trying to be sexist, but you work better with women. And, you know, part of your learning how to speak has been learning how to work and how to speak to women that are maybe critical of you. So finding a woman who's supportive of you can be helpful in this job. You also have Mars in your third, exalted. So that is definitely action around writing. And you also have Saturn ruling the third house in Uranus, you know, goes to the Uranus Neptune. So while the story's quirky and a little unusual, I think it definitely has an audience, particularly for the collective or the group that it's geared towards. Who are you targeting with it?
Women.
Women, okay. Any particular age range of women?
Middle age.
Pardon?
Middle-aged women.
Middle-aged women, okay. So you want to go find publishers that kind of work in that with that genre. And because you need a specialty publisher with that Uranus-Pluto, someone who specializes in, they understand the niche marketing and they understand how to work with it. You've got a grand trine in air, so you have a connection somewhere in your community of people that will get you to whatever. And so you want to just say to everybody you know, Uranus, Saturn, in the 7th, I have a book. Do you know anybody who can help me get it published? Just start saying that as you go around, especially over the holidays, as Saturn's going to be on that Neptune. And someone will say to you, oh, I have someone, and follow up on that. Because you've got Jupiter coming to the 4th house cusp and also starting a new 12-year cycle around your work. So you're ready this year to start a new 12-year cycle as Jupiter goes into that fourth. And it's coming out of the third of the house of writing. But I would, whoever it is, you already know someone who knows them to get you connected. But I would avoid people that are harsh and critical. I would work with people that work on developing new voices. And, you want to find a good, strong female that can hear your voice in there that is supportive of you in that process. Because, you know, your Pisces sun gets a little quiet, and your Virgo moon can be sensitive to criticism. So you have to recognize when you're doing something like this, you may get no's, but that the no's are geared to get you to the right home. So when I was in sales, I'm a Virgo sun, and I would, you know, one of the things that helped me was knowing my statistics. Now, you're a new author, so you don't necessarily know them yet, but you would expect to get between 12 and 13 no's with your chart before you get a yes. So you have to kind of go around and say to different people, at least 12 or 13 people, does anybody know anybody who can help me get my book published? And just ask 12 people every day. And one of those will pop because your moon gets past critical nature at 12 and a half. And at that point, your chart opens up. And at 15, you find what you're looking for. So I would really push the asking because your chart's a little shy, but you just make it like your mission, kind of keep statistics. I asked 12 people today.
And remember that you are really in a phase of blossoming in your work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your progressed Mercury will be coming to conjunct Uranus over the next 5 years. So you're really just getting going on your writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just continue to pour forth. With your Mercury in Aquarius, have you worked in a group or with a writer's group?
I just have a book group where we read books, and no, I haven't.
Okay, I think a writer's group would be really helpful for you because in a collective piece, to bring and workshop specific parts of your writing, because I think that you need the feedback from the group to hear how you're writing, not from other authorities, but from a group of just saying what's working for them and what could get your point across more clearly in the technique of the writing itself. The content feels right on. The technique of the writing feels like it's still getting to the point and it's still learning how to trust your expression. And if that you will handle it better from a group, as Anne said, from a supportive mentor type person and from a group where you're just getting that reflection back and working on the craft so that the image of the writing comes through more clearly. But to know that you've got a chart that's
built to write.
Jupiter up in the house of publishing, mm-hmm. you've got Mercury in the house of communication, you're built for this. It's trusting it, working on your craft, keeping going, being willing to take the no's, hearing from other people what would be helpful in getting your point across, and believing in yourself, and know that you've got next 5 years taken off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Mark. You got anything you want to add? The girl.
That Pluto opposite Mercury is really a strong. It forms basically the spine of a kite with your grand trine, and that's what creates the stability for you to use the grand trine. So using Pluto opposite Mercury means being able to go deep into whatever subject you're working with. And don't worry about the people who don't want to follow you into the deep part. That's not your audience. And the people who are your audience, they'll stay with you. So take it where it needs to go. That's really important. And if people try to talk you out of that, to say, okay, then I have to find someone else.
Right. You're not hearing my voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a voice that not everybody's going to hear. And so when you get a criticism, don't think that there's anything wrong with your voice. Think that maybe they just can't hear you. And you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's been something you've worked on all your life anyway. So your job under this mode is to say when someone says to you, oh, that's not very good. You say, okay, so you don't like what I write. Cool. But that doesn't mean it's not good. That means it doesn't fit your definition of things. And that's a hard part for you to parse. That's why you need to do the statistics and keep track of, okay, I just have to know it's a numbers game. I have to contact all these people and say I've written a book and have somebody pop for me and say, oh, well, let me help you find somebody to get it published. That's the hard part. And as long as you keep pushing, it'll pop, and you just have to trust that process. But it should pop actually pretty quick. I would think either this fall or next summer. But
that
you do need to push.
Is that when Jupiter will be on my sun? I'll feel better about things or opportunity or a person will come in?
Well, Jupiter's going to be on your sun in January. But what I'm looking at is Saturn getting off your Neptune. What will happen is the people will get addicted to your writing.
Cool.
You're going to be the one that people want to read your stuff. So, but it's going to be a group that's addicted. So that's kind of why I asked, is your audience, you know, who's your audience? And you're like, women, middle-aged women. Okay. So middle-aged women are going to find it and say, okay, this is great, and pass it around. But you have to find someone who knows how to market to those people. And that's why you need to keep asking to find a publisher that can hear your vision so that they know what to how to put it out there. And you might just do research of other women you like the writing of and see who publishes them, because you may find there's a small there's a house or a small, or, you know, there's a group of women that all go to the same publisher, and that may be the publisher you need to connect with.
You have Neptune, Saturn, Uranus, and Mercury all forming a grand trine in air signs in your natal chart, and Saturn and Pluto and Uranus are all hitting those early degrees of cardinal signs, and they're going to be ringing off by one way or the other all of those planets in the grand trine for several years now. So it really is time for you to take every opportunity to, you know, do your work, get in there, take yourself seriously, and take this opportunity.
Oh, awesome.
And I think on that we should start to speak to the rest of the audience about what they've got coming up the week ahead.
All right, that
sounds
good.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with it, Betsy. Keep us posted and mail us a book, okay?
Yeah.
Only one will share it.
That's because you're a gang of three.
We're the gang of three, right. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Bye-bye. All right, cool. All right, so forward with the week. We got 23 minutes remaining. We do have some callers on the line, and if we get finished, we'll pick you up. So we don't mean to – don't hang up, people. We'll be there.
Oh, hang in there.
We got three people on the line, so we have to do fast, guys. We have a lot of callers tonight. This is like an exciting night.
Wonderful.
One night Mark and I went like, okay, we're going to go to bed. Nobody's calling. This week we got callers. All right, so we've got Saturn going into Libra, and we'll talk about this a lot, people, because we've got it for the next 2 years. It's in Libra till the September of 2011. Or October of 2011, probably even more, but I haven't looked any further than that because it's just
Saturday. We've got a long way to go on that one.
We got a long way to go. We also have Chiron stationing on Saturday night. Now, Chiron stationing is he's been retrograde for the last 6 months or so. He's stationing to go direct. He's the whole healthcare debate. You know, Barack brought it up in February, said we're going to do healthcare, yeah, yeah, and then everybody kind of fell apart and started fighting. Now he's going direct. We're actually going to see what the healthcare bill is going to look like because we're actually going to start working on healthcare. Chiron is the healer. Neptune and Uranus and Jupiter, or Neptune, Jupiter, and Chiron joined together in the sign of Aquarius is collective healthcare, our beliefs, our understanding for the collective of what we want. So we're going to have that. He also is going direct on Halloween. So we can expect a rocking and rolling Halloween because when Chiron goes direct at the same time that a planet enters a new sign like Saturn, you know, it kind of stirs a lot of emotional energy up for people. So you can have some relationship dynamics get a little snarky this weekend, especially because the moon's in Aries, and so people can be a little sharp-tongued. Halloween's going to be rocking. I would be aware of the fact that the tricks are going to be out more than the treats, and be aware of that. In New York, we have a really, really big parade, which I was thinking of
I was going to be there for that big parade. Because with the moon in Aries, I mean, it is such a combustible time. Be careful with fires. Be careful with flames. But, thank goodness there's a Halloween parties to act out, to safe ways to act out, and an Aries moon behaves. Without safe ways to act out, do not try to shush anybody or tell them to be quiet this week. It will not work. But once you get people in their costume with Mars and Leo, they're going to be acting out all over the place. Our alter egos can go out and dance. But we hope that we can put this in good places. And if you have teenagers, make sure they get to the wildest dance they can. Just keep close tabs on them getting there and coming back. You know, it creates safety, create good. If you feel the energy building up and your tail's twitching at home, find a safe place to go with this intensity. Go chop some wood, go do some art therapy and, carve a pumpkin. Just put it in the smooth direction. Give it good boundaries.
I don't know that I'd chop wood with it in Aries. Maybe something else.
I would. I would just keep my fingers out of the way.
That's like an axe. Yeah.
It is. It is. Yeah. Keep your fingers out of the way. Do it safely. But better that you start to act, to give yourself a place to go with it, than wait till it gets a little explosive.
Right.
So it needs safe places to go. So if you're going to chop wood, do it well. Don't just pick up an axe and start swinging. if you're going to cut a pumpkin, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Make sure the axe is sharp, and make sure the knife is sharp if you're cutting a pumpkin.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it'll glance off.
Right.
So you want it to bite in just where you need it.
I mean, this starts as early as the 29th because Sun squares Mars that day.
Right.
Just
right.
As Saturn goes into Libra. So, you know, it's a little accident prone this week. It's a little fiery and explosive, but it's not as broody as sometimes the Scorpio can be. It's more needing to express. People need attention now, and they'll sometimes get attention. They're that weird combination with Mars and Leo desperately wanting to be seen, and the Sun and Scorpio can refuse. So if people feel a little miffed because they're not getting enough attention, they tend to withhold and make you go after them. It's like, I'm not talking to you because you didn't talk to me. It's not the most mature response, but it can be how people act out. So if someone's withholding from you, notice that they felt you withheld first, even if you did it accidentally by just being withdrawn. And see how you can get the flow of attention going in a more constructive way first.
Yeah, people are counting still, unfortunately. But they're going to stop counting soon because we're moving into the balance of Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So.
By the way, speaking of counting, mm-hmm. Sunday morning, 2 o'clock, we end daylight saving time.
Oh, that's so right. I keep forgetting.
You move your clock back. And that means we get an extra hour to do something with.
On Halloween night, party, party, party.
Yeah, exactly.
Halloween that never ends, you know.
We like that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely
so shall
one of those.
Try,
the other thing we have
we
going is we have, we also have Mercury going into Scorpio on Wednesday. So that's one of my favorite placements, I have to say. Mercury and Scorpio, they see everything with X-ray eyes. So when we when we all experience the planets going into a sign, we all get X-ray eyes for like a couple of weeks now. So you want to know like a secret in your family. This is a great week to ask because people are going to be telling the secrets. You want to kind of find out if so-and-so is fooling around with so-and-so. This is a great time to find out because you're going to find the clues or you're going to know where to look. So Mercury in Scorpio is like the detective energy. So people find things
sometimes
out on this.
You have to just be careful that you interpret the information correctly. It's definitely one of those aspects where if you find something out, confirm your facts.
Yes.
It's very easy for people to see only what supports their suspicion or supports their mindset. It's a wonderful aspect for research if you really are going in with an open mind.
Yes.
But if you're going in to prove your point, you can start distorting the information.
Right.
So if you're going in to prove somebody is messing around on you, you will find all the clues that support that and miss all the clues that say, no, they've been loyal.
Yeah.
So it's easier to see the truth in somebody else's life than it is in your own personal life. When it gets, the closer at home it gets, the more important it is for you to perceive carefully, ask questions, and confirm your data.
Yeah. But it is one of those. This is one of those aspects, I don't know about you, Heather, but every time I've got clients with it, they get caught. This is the one they get caught on. So if you're fooling around, this is the one you're going to get caught on. Partner's going to go, you've been spending a lot of time with Bob lately. And you go, Bob, I haven't been spending any time with Bob. Why do you say that? And then they go, why are you reacting like this? So it's that kind of energy, too. So it's understanding, you know, like the guilty conscience gets revealed or you shout their name out in your sleep and they go, so who's Bob? And you go, Bob, I don't know who Bob is. We were talking about him last night while you were in your dreams. And you're like, no, I wasn't. You know, it's kind of one of those, I have to say, this is not one of my favorites, but it does make for really good stories, you know, where you, and then this happened. So it's kind of that kind of energy. And so being aware of it, really just knowing that one of the things is everybody's going to be in detective mode, Harriet detectives all over the world, wanting to solve the crimes and figure things out. So it's kind of cool, but hard nonetheless. So, and my lamp just turned off. I don't understand why my lamp just turned off.
So we try the callers that are on the phone. Let's get to see if we can get to them.
All right, we have another one. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, hi. You're on the air.
Hello? How can we help you?
You're on the air.
Oh, my gosh. I got on.
Turn off the radio.
I better turn down my computer.
I can hear your back talk. Yeah, turn off your computer.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. No problem. What's
your first name and your birth information?
Okay, my name's Sam, and I'm sure some of you have memorized my chart by now. So it's December 15th, 1953. At 1:57 a.m. In Chicago, Illinois.
And what's your question, Sam?
Okay, my question is about money, and there's some specifics around that. But I've, from what I've picked up, there are things like a Mars return or Jupiter synodic cycle or whatever else you think might be affecting the money picture. But I would add a more specific question that I've been going around. I developed a workshop for art and conflict resolution, and I've been taking it to places. And the Brooklyn DA's office is really, really interested in it, and the Fortune Society, which is a great connection, really wants it. But no one can, those two places anyway, can't really pay for it. So I'm kind of getting into the grant world, but it's taking a really long time for me to figure out how that whole situation works.
I would say definitely get in the grant mode. You know that you have Saturn, who's been in your house of finances for 2.5 years, is about to, at least for a few months, leave your second house if you use the Koch house system and go into your third. And people will start taking you seriously over the next 2.5 years. The good news is, people will take you seriously. And the even better news is Saturn's out of your second, so your finances begin to loosen up, and you get paid for the hard work that you've been doing. You may find, though, at the beginning of this aspect, that it's important, especially over the next 9 months while your progressed moon is still in the house of other people's resources in Pisces, that you give away some of your work, that you charge very little, get grants, or be able to do some of this work as a way of saying to people, see, this is what I do, and that if you can tithe or, you know, get a tax write-off for volunteering some of this work, it will then bring you more work because it's proof that it works, and you have the portfolio to go with it and the publicity. So after the next 9 months, you probably won't have to do that.
Oh, so I should do that in the next 9 months?
Yes.
Starting now?
Right.
Starting when
Saturn goes into Libra this week, it gets out of your house of money and moves into a house where you're being taken seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that will be very helpful.
And what will be helpful?
That shift will be very helpful for you.
Of Saturn into Libra?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it helps all of your air planets. It supports them, and it also supports, you know, your Neptune, Mars, all those, and it also supports your fire planets. You got a lot of fire and air in your chart, so they support. There's also in New York City, there's a place called the Foundation Center, which helps you actually write the grants. And
I'm like living at the Foundation Center. I'm even taking their courses twice, but it does take quite a while to get a handle on it.
It does. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm working on that, and I know in time it'll work out, but it could take many months for me to really. But I have found a lot of places.
By saying within 9 months you won't have to worry about this, right now it's you give away what you can.
Well, Heather, I was going to say I can't believe you said that because I actually met with somebody last week, and I'm going to volunteer a workshop that's for the Alternative to Incarceration guys. 1625 there, and they were really crazy about they really want me to do it. So, and also another person who's head of the college initiative there has been sending me a bill tracker so I can track the bills going through Congress, and I can and analyze them and recommend which ones, and we're going to go after the drafters, and So I'm kind of, and that's a volunteer thing too that I just did for him, and he loved it. So it seems like I'm getting into policy making, and this is all volunteer, and I'm going like, wow, well, geez, I'm volunteering all this, but.
No,
I mean,
but
I think
it won't
stay on there for long, but that goes on to your website and that goes on to your portfolio as you're presenting to other people.
Mm-hmm.
When the world economic situation begins to improve, you will have quite a portfolio to take this work out.
Okay, but so I should be getting some actual money in, like, well, it could come soon, I mean, from other sources, because I do other kinds of work too, like, graphic
right.
design and illustration.
It's not
blocking
you quite so badly even this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so things should shift at somewhat in the overall picture pretty soon, like in a week or two or sometime.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think
okay,
so.
What's that?
You call us back and let us know.
Okay, I will. Okay, I'll let you get to another caller. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with it.
Take care.
Bye. Got one
next caller.
I'm working on my mics. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I forgot my question, so I've been on the phone so long, so I'll give you my name
sorry.
Is Tom.
Okay.
And my birth date is January 27th, 59, in New York.
January 27th, 1959.
In New York. Queens,
and
New York.
And what time?
Queens at 11:50 a.m.
Okay.
I guess I wanted
and
to
what
know.
Was your question?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. What was your question? Was our question?
I wanted to know with all this activity going on, how is that going to affect me? What can I look forward to?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Taking a piece of a second. Your moon is very close to the moon of the person we spoke to, the writer, just a little while ago. Same degrees, close to the same degrees. Oh, the activity that's happening right now with the Moon-Jupiter-Chiron-Neptune conjunction is conjuncting your Chiron-Venus in the 10th house. So that looks like there's been some intense questions around your work situation of how to make it more healing, more what you want, and less, more realistic to you in this last few months and in the next few months. So I'm not sure what's happening with your question around your work, your sense of personal authority, and how you can integrate your work, your life to feel more whole. You've got such a strong dichotomy in your chart between one side of you being such a dreamer and so intuitive and the other side being so kind of nuts and bolts and hard work. And it's hard for you to imagine that they really can trust the fact that they can work well together.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're being pushed on that heavily.
Pushed and pulled.
Pushed and pulled. And essay, yeah. integrate.
Yeah. Actually, I had to take off a few weeks from work.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
health-wise?
I've been really depressed lately
mm-hmm.
to a point where I couldn't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I took a leave of absence for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the crisis around your work because it's not necessarily feeling like it's you. You've got that Virgo moon. You can be so hard on yourself. And so one of the pieces I want you to look at is noticing how you think and noticing the critical thought pattern in your head. And it's like an over-exercised muscle. And it's almost like lazy eye, how you cover the good eye in order to support, to get the weaker eye strengthened. If you can notice the critical voice in you and ask it to say, thank you for sharing, now just sit over there. And hear that critical voice and notice it, but don't buy it. You know, don't try to suppress it, but don't identify with it. Just notice, oh, I've got this constant critical voice. It makes it hard for me to believe in myself and believe that I could live out my dreams and believe that I could be understood and heard. You know, because that's the tricky side to the side of you that is so responsible, so hardworking, and, you know, really good at your work. But sometimes it can get hooked on feeling like the world is never going to get better. And you're in the last, your progressed moon is in Cancer, your progressed sun is in Pisces. In 1 year, your progressed moon's heading into Leo, and in 2 years, your progressed sun's heading into Aries, and you will have so much more energy and so much more hope. So we just need to use this time to push you to integrate, to find your wholeness. Pluto is sitting on your Saturn. Saturn's going to be squaring your Saturn. So the issues of how do you find to help your work life, your responsible life, and your creative dreamer self work better together and trust each other more and respect each other more.
Tom, do you do any kind of musical work or any kind of work with music?
I listen to it. That's about all.
Okay. I mean, but you notice how music changes your moods, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what you probably would help a lot, right now you've got Saturn on your progressed sun, and your sun's at 28 Pisces and Saturn's opposite it. So what that is, I mean, this is really a peak part for it right now, and it'll be back again in April through June, July. Once Saturn gets a degree or two off, so like in a week or two, a couple of weeks, you'll start feeling a little better. But I would really work on finding for yourself music that you can listen to that actually lifts your mood. You know, make a list of the songs that when you listen to them, you feel happy and good. Because part of what can happen with your chart is you can really shift your mood with music.
Yeah.
And you do have, you know, you do have very sensitive, you're very sensitive to all kinds of stimuli. So I would say drugs are a good thing, you know, like maybe an antidepressant, a short, you know, a very lightweight one. But I also think just even for you, being careful about what food you eat, like really going whole food, not doing sugars and starches and white flour.
Yeah, it looks like you might be slightly hypoglycemic.
Yeah, you got a sugar reactive chart. So like, but also giving yourself music that you kind of maybe get, like you just make sure you set up on the computer or you set up in your house, so you're always in a state where you're listening to music that makes you feel good and upbeat, because that will help. The Pisces sun is so sensitive and so attuned to energy. I had a friend who, you know, her child had, you know, whenever she would leave, the kid would get really upset. And she would put on classical music, and the child would be like, oh, okay, I'm happy now, because it was in a state of contentment because the music was so health. And what's really up for you now is abandonment stuff. So you have to kind of recognize that part of what you're also working with is a major ending cycle now that makes you feel like you're losing things or you're being abandoned, because that sun is also trining your Jupiter. So you're also hypersensitive to any kind of emotional stimuli, so or physical stimuli. So being careful of extra, making sure you drink extra water, sticking your hands under fluids, running fluids, taking a good like hot showers when you come home or when you feel depressed, that will all help a lot, because you're absorbing other people's stuff right now too.
Yeah.
You're much more sensitive to other people's energies than normal, and you're already a sensitive guy, but you're even more sensitive. So I would give yourself extra doses of water to help ground you, and, you know, showers, baths, walking by the water, water under, you know, you're in a difficult meeting, putting a glass of water between you and the person and then dumping it. Don't drink it. Dump it.
Right.
And just also making sure that you environment yourself, like with the music, you surround yourself with things that are supportive of transforming your emotional state and getting it flowing in a positive direction. And I think you'll find that really helps quite a bit.
Also, hon, it looks like it's hard for you to believe. Well, we'll come back on that. But it's any work that you do now on the deeper issues of how the family patterns of depression run and how you can grow your own sense of personal authority and break some of the family patterns will be really cost effective, because any work you do now will be easier than it will be any other time in your life.
Oh, sure. I've done that already.
So, you know, take that in there. Good luck on that.
Thank you.
Okay?
All right. And we have a list of things we didn't get to tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 60 seconds remaining. Okay, Mark.
We are signing off with Access Astrology, and you can always find us on the web at astronyc.com. It's astronyc.com. This is Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York.
And Heather Rowan Robbins wishing you a safe and exciting Halloween from North Dakota.
Okay, tune in next week and call in with your questions.
Or email them.
Or send us an email.
Yeah. Email.
Okay.
Hey, Karen, have a happy Halloween. It's the Day of the Dead, you know, there when they cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So long.
And come back.
Bye.
Honest.